I do have a confession to make, but I'm not going to be making it yet. A little further into the show. I've got to psych myself up for it. You know, it's hard exposing yourself to the listening audience. Takes a little nerve to do it, but I'm going to do it. That's right. This is Knock on Wood. I'm Steve Charney, and let's see, what do we have today? Besides my confession, Harry's going to be in. He's going to be listening to it. We got Bill Cosby, Alan Funt. Before he did Candid Camera, he did Candid Microphone on the radio, something from an old record there, and Flanders and Swan. And we're going to start off with Jimmy Durante. This is an album I dearly love. These are the best love songs of Jimmy Durante. This is I'm a Vulture for Horticulture. Oh, Jimmy Durante. Mm-mm.
For many years I only thought of wealth, till one day I saw a bee sipping honey, and that bee was a picture of health. If the flowers could do so much for a bee, I wondered what could those flowers do for me. So I buys an acre of good green, sir, now commuting with nature and Mother Earth. I'm living a clean life, surrounded by dirt, 'cause I'm a vulture for horticulture. I spend hours making pretty flowers grow. I go tripping amidst the tulips, spreading pollen with my little rake and hoe. In the morning I blush with the roses, in the evening I cling with the vine, 'cause I'm a vulture for horticulture, and every bud is a body of mine. You know, folks, I love to stroll to my garden at eventide when the flowers are happiest. What a sight! The black-eyed Susies are putting on their mascara. The boys and berries are flirting with the girls and berries. And the poinsettias are setting on their little points. You know, I've always loved nature ever since I was a little boy. I'll never forget when my father took me on his knee and told me about the birds and the bees. In fact, he told it so well that now I can't get used to girls. Ah, I love to be close to the earth. First you're alone with a little seed. You plant the seed and soon you're alone with a little bud. The bud blossoms and soon you're alone with a little onion. You eat the onion and boy are you alone. 'Cause I'm a vulture for horticulture. All the pansies always greet me with a joke. They show affection for my protection. Why, I'll kill the guy who'll make the crocus croak. In the springtime, I gild all the lilies. In the autumn, I paint the leaves brown. 'Cause I'm a vulture for horticulture. But my hay fever's bringing me down. Yes, sir, my hay fever's bringing me down.
Hey, huh? Did I tell you? Was I steering you wrong or not? Jimmy Durante. What a guy. Okay. Well, we're talking Knock on Wood here.
Come on, Steve. Come on.
What come on?
What's your confession? You said earlier in the show you had a confession to make. What is it?
All right. I hope you're strong enough to hear it, but it's something I feel needs to come out. Truth is, well, I'm the funniest person on the planet.
Oh, man, Steve, you know that you vowed not to reveal that to the public. It's dangerous for those around you to know the full truth.
I'm sorry, Harry. I just didn't want to continue to lie to listeners anymore. It's been very hard over these years keeping the truth from them.
Well, then you better tell them the whole story.
Yeah, I know what you people out there are thinking. Steve, I've been listening to you for years, and believe me, you are not the funniest person on the planet. In fact, sometimes you're downright depressing.
Little Sidney Husbinder, who sits behind me in math and scrunches up his face and makes burping sounds when the teacher is writing on the blackboard, is funnier than you.
But you know the reason, Harry. You see, my power of humor is so far beyond anyone else's on Earth that if I were to unleash the full force of my buffoonery onto the unsuspecting public, I would wreak havoc onto the very social fabric to which we have sworn to protect.
Oh?
What you hear on this show is just a fraction of my true talent. I keep it down. I modify my comedy. I resist the temptation to put my pedal to the metal and go full throttle.
And that's because if you did, people would laugh so hard and so long that they could hurt themselves?
Exactly. Physically and mentally.
That's why I don't think it was a good idea telling people the truth. The wrong person could get ideas, Steve. You could be kidnapped and forced to unleash your full power. The person who controls you controls the world.
That's not going to happen, Harry. Why not? Because before that person or people kidnap me, I just tell them a few of my choice jokes. While they're laughing so hard, their sides are hurting, I make my escape. And besides, mere mortals couldn't harm me, considering where I'm from.
Oh, no, you're not going to reveal that part of the truth, are you?
I want to make a clean sweep of it, Tar. You see, I'm not of this planet.
Oh, man, you're making a mistake telling this.
I'm from a place a long way from Earth. When I was a child, my father, Jor-El, placed me in a small spaceship and sent me hurling towards Earth just before my planet exploded. I was discovered and adopted by a kindly couple who nurtured me into adulthood. Even as a child, I discovered my knack for comedy. It seems that what was a normal sense of humor on my planet flipped on became super humor on Earth. You Earthlings have such a poorly developed sense of humor compared to mine that I could devastate any one of you with one joke.
Now it's out of the bag. Who knows what havoc you're going to wreck on Earth? This isn't a comic strip, Steve. People will hear this and contact the proper authorities. They'll come in here and want to probe and poke you. I mean, life outside the solar system, it's too tempting to a scientist.
That's not going to happen, Harry. People know that I'm just, you know, joking.
Oh, right. One of those toned-down jokes where no one laughs.
That's right.
You've been doing a lot of those lately. Just once I'd like to see you unleash your powers just a little bit.
Maybe I will. After we hear a recording. I mentioned earlier Alan Funt did candid microphone before candid camera. Here he is describing one of the bits he had on the show.
Despite the news in the papers, I think the average guy is pretty friendly. And if some total stranger stopped you on the street, slapped you warmly on the back, and asked, "How's everything, bud?" you'd probably tell him everything. Yes, and you'd pretend you never forgot his name for a minute while you fished around for it near mine. I'd never seen this man in my life before when I stopped him. But the conversation went like this.
Hello there, fella. How you feeling?
Hello. How are you?
Gee, I haven't seen you for a long time. How you been?
All right. How'd yourself?
Good, good. You still working in the same place?
Yeah, I'm still down there.
Oh, good. Everything fine?
Everything's swell. Good. What are you doing now?
Swell. I got the same job.
Well,
same
health?
Thing. How's the wife?
Fine, fine, Dad.
Yeah? Yeah? Kids?
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah.
Healthy? Good
oh,
shape?
Oh, yeah. Everything's fine. Everything's
oh,
swell.
Good. How's the heat bothering you too much these days?
Well, it's a little hot, yeah.
Yeah. Everything about the same in the neighborhood where you live?
Yeah, everything just about the same.
Uh-huh. Kids getting big, I suppose, huh?
Oh, yeah, about 10 years old now.
Is that right? Yeah. Good health and
yeah.
No trouble with him?
No trouble at all. He's going to school every day.
Gee whiz, I haven't seen you for a long time.
No, it is quite a while.
You haven't changed much, though.
I didn't quite recognize you at first.
Yeah. But you do now, huh?
Oh, yes, yes, I know who you are
now. Well, who am I?
Why,
I don't know you.
You don't know me?
No.
Why, I thought I knew you.
I don't know you.
Well, I'm sorry, but...
Well, you should be. I mean, after all, I'm busy. What's the sense of just wasting time? Do you know me or don't you?
Well, I thought I did, but...
Well, all right, then don't be stopping strangers in the street to talk if you don't know them.
Well, I didn't have anything
else. All right, now, listen, don't do that again.
No, you're liable to have done that yourself sometime or other. You thought you knew somebody when you met them.
Now, leave me alone now. I've got places to go and things to do.
Well, so have I, as far as that's concerned.
All right, then what's the sense of both of us talking here that way? If you know me, do you know me?
No, I don't.
All right,
now,
then,
you
goodbye.
Say so.
That's silly.
Oh, so long. I
wonder if that would happen as readily today. Someone comes up to you on the street, says they know. You'd probably start screaming and just run away, considering the state of affairs in the world. I don't know. Still would probably happen. A small town. We trusted people, not in a big city. Who knows? All right, Alan Funt.
Steve, how can you be blabbering about Alan Funt when you've just confessed to being the funniest person on the planet?
True. That includes the 5 billion Chinese, too. If I wanted to, I could devastate an audience in Hang Chow.
You speak Chinese?
No, I would do my mime act.
You see, Steve's let it out of the bag that he was sent here from another planet as a baby, where he was adopted by a kindly couple in, Smallville.
Hey, how did you know that? I never told you where I was brought up.
Just a hunch, Steve. Anyway, what was a normal sense of humor on his home planet, a Flipton, became super humor on this planet. Only he can't unleash his full power because it would devastate the community. So he limits himself to old stale jokes and corny ideas, like, let's say, this one we're doing right now.
Harry, if I really let loose with one of my winners, everyone listening now would be unable to function for days. They would continue to laugh unceasingly. They wouldn't be able to eat or sleep. That could be very dangerous to the already infirm.
Well, I don't know why you've confessed this secret of yours anyway.
Well, I just don't like to lie to the audience. I don't like keeping secrets, and I hope they feel the same way. I hope they don't keep anything from me.
You know you're a nut.
Look, if you only knew how much of a nut I was, when I was a boy in Smallville and hadn't learned yet how destructive my powers could be, I was class clown.
Naturally.
You know how they usually leave the class clown back a grade for being a wise guy?
Steve, don't forget who you're talking to. Of course I know.
Well, instead of leaving me back, they left the whole class back instead, including the teacher. They never stopped laughing the entire year. They had to leave the whole class back because they couldn't do any work. They were laughing so hard because of me. I destroyed the lives of 30 little children.
How could a teacher be left back?
Well, they made a special case for her. Then when I became a teenager, I decided to use my powers for good. If I saw a robbery taking place in a convenience store, I rushed in, handed the woman behind the counter earplugs, and told the crook a joke. That would finish him off. At least until the cops got there to take him away.
What were some of the jokes you fought crime with?
Oh, I couldn't tell them here. I have to stick to old stale jokes. I have to protect the public.
And you do a good job of it, Steve. A very good job. Anyway, I don't understand. If you told the joke to the crook...
Yeah?
Then doesn't he have the power, too? I mean, you've handed him a weapon. Can't he go around telling that joke and causing havoc and stealing money?
No, he wouldn't be able to do that because it's all in the timing. See, he could tell the same joke, fall flat. It's all in the timing.
Uh-huh. So you do protect the public.
Oh, who's here? May I help you?
This is a stick-up. Up with your hands.
Oh, my goodness. Harry, a stick-up. All right, my hands are up. My hands are up.
You too, you little pipsqueak.
My hands don't go up. I'm just a puppet.
Oh, all right. Leave them at your sides and don't move them.
I can't move them. I'm just a puppet.
What do you want, you cad?
I've been listening to your show. I heard about your superpower. And you're gonna make me very, very rich.
Uh-oh.
You know, me being a natural-born dog, well, of course, I love nature. And the sounds of nature is, well, that's what this song is all about. It goes like this. When the whippoorwill is singing in the forest. That's the whippoorwill there. When the little brook is murmuring a tune. When the mockingbird is chirping in the wild woods. And a lonely wolf is howling to the moon. Uh-huh. When the leaves of the old oak tree start a-rustling, and the waterfall makes sounds like woman's tears, when the whole world is filled with Mother Nature's noises, that's the time to stuff cotton in your ears.
I was thinking the other day, which is really groovy. You have to do that every once in a while. You have to think. You know, just lay up in your bed and just think. When you don't have anything to do, you just think. And I started thinking about animals. Because to me, they're really groovy because they don't talk or nothing. So I try to get into their brains and see what they're thinking. And I started thinking about the first chicken. Did you ever think about the first chicken? Not who came first, the chicken or the egg, because I really don't care. Because if there was an egg and the chicken came from it, who did the chicken have to learn from? Because when you think about chickens, they don't hang out with other birds. They hang out with the horse, you know, they walk around, how you doing, horse, how's everything? And they walk around with the cow, hey, cow, what's happening, how you doing, you know? And they ain't hanging out with the ducks or the robins or nobody like that. Robin Redbreast, names you learn in elementary school. Robin Redbreast. They're just hanging out with themselves. So I figure the first chicken had to be confused. You know what I mean? Because now, when they were first here, Everybody got irked.
Or pregnant.
They were all swollen with child. So the chicken's hanging out with the horse and the cow, and they're all irked. And they're just proud, can't wait. The chicken's saying, oh, yeah, yeah, it's going to really be nice, don't you think? All of a sudden, the horse said, and there it was, a colt, you dig? And the colt is standing up, skinny legged and everything, and and the chicken was really happy. They said, oh, isn't that cute? It looks just like you. That is. Oh, it's so happy for you. And the cow said, and there's a calf. And the calf. Chicken said, oh, man, it looks just like you got a little bit of the father there. Yes, black and white spots. And oh, it's just, oh, mine is coming now. And they all look, and the chicken had to be confused. Looking at egg, and there was no name for it then. She just looked at it. Oh, my. And the rooster probably was worse than the old girl.
What were you drinking last night?
So I figure out of embarrassment, she sat on it and tried to hide it, you dig? And felt it cracking. But you got to do some thinking, because the chicken had to be confused. The duck probably came over and explained it to her. Because ducks are hip.
I won't be going out today. I'll stay home if I please. This animal's falling from the clouds. Here comes my pet Maltese. There goes Johnny's dash hound like a hot dog in the sky. And Cindy's cuddly calicoes like a rainbow floating by. It's a great day for ducklings, a great day for frogs, but a bad day for people, it's raining cats and dogs. Timmy's little terrier is slippery when it's wet, and Randy's red setter is a sight I won't forget. Peter's little Pekingese is blowing in the breeze. See Susie's little Siamese dip drying in a tree. It's a great day for ducklings, a great day for frogs, but a bad day for people, it's raining cats and dogs. There are poodles in the puddles. I've got a pet store in my yard. Watch out, Mr. Postman. Here comes Sarah St. Bernard. Woof, woof. It's a great day for ducklings, great day for frogs, but a bad day for people. It's raining cats and dogs. I've got a pet store in my yard. Watch out, Mr. Postman. Here comes Sarah St. Bernard. Woof, woof. It's a great day for ducklings, great day for frogs, but a bad day for people. It's raining cats and dogs. It's a bad day for people. It's raining cats and dogs.
Norman Foote. He should have a band, Norman Foote and his, and the Ten Toes or something. I don't know. No, he doesn't. It's on, let's see, what's the name of that? Music Box. It's a Disney label. And before that, Bill Cosby. For those of you tuning in late, I'll quickly tell you what's been happening.
As you do, just keep your hands up.
Well,
yes, sir.
I confess that I'm from the planet Flipton and came here as a child. Because of the different evolutionary level, my sense of humor is vastly more developed than anyone here on Earth. In other words, I am the funniest person on the planet. But if I unleash the full force of my comedy, it could devastate the whole world, so I keep it under wraps, limiting my output to stale knock-knocks and old light bulb jokes. Only this scoundrel has just come in here and wants to use my power for his own fiendish means.
All right, enough chatter. Now teach me a few jokes that I could use to rob banks with.
Don't do it, Steve. He's a madman.
Oh, yeah? I'll show you who's mad.
Hey, get away from me!
Now, how would you like it if I slapped your dummy around a little?
You can't do that.
Why not? I'm a fiend, aren't I?
Yeah, but this is a kid's show, and I don't want any more letters that I already get about violence on this program. You do it to Harry, and then some dopey kid out there does it to his brother or sister. Nix the slapping, please.
Thank goodness! I'm saved! I'm saved!
All right. What's the world coming to when a thug can't express himself fully through his own wickedness?
Thank goodness! I'm saved!
Use this feather. Tickling is all right.
Oh, that's good. Thanks.
Great. Thanks a bunch, Steve.
Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. Tell me a joke that I could use to rob a bank with, or I'll tickle you little dummy here.
Never. Never. I'll never tell.
All right. You asked for it.
Hey, what are you doing? Hey, cut that out. Hey, that tickles. Come on, stop. Stop tickling me.
I'll never tell. Never. You can tickle him to your heart's content.
Come on, Steve. Tell. I can't take much more of this.
Tickle.
Come on, stop.
Tickle.
Stop.
Never.
Come on.
I will
relax,
never
Steve. Relax.
Tell.
Tickle.
So much. Come on.
All right.
I knew you couldn't resist saving your poor doll.
It had nothing to do with him. I just want to move this skit along.
Oh.
Oh.
So you're going to tell the joke that's going to have the bank tellers rolling in the aisles while I stuff my bag with money?
Yes, I'll tell. I will unleash the full power of my humor. Just don't torture Harry anymore.
What's the joke?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Gus.
Gus who?
No, you Gus who.
That was the joke. That's gonna bring society to its knees.
That stunk, Steve!
I don't know what's wrong. It was supposed to cause untold guffaws. All right, let me try another one. This kid is walking on the kitchen floor, and her mother says,
I thought I told you not to walk on the floor unless your feet are clean.
And the girl replies, my feet are clean. It's my shoes that are dirty.
What are you trying to fool me?
I don't know what's happening. My powers are diminished.
Try one more, Steve.
All right, why did the chicken cross the road?
I don't know why.
To get the New York Post.
I don't get it.
Neither do I. I get the New York Times.
I see. Okay, I see. All of my henchmen said I was crazy for believing you. But no, I said I've been listening to Steve Charney for years. He wouldn't lie to his audience. But I see I was wrong. You're nothing but a liar and a fraud. You aren't from Flipton. You're just overcompensating for having a lousy sense of humor. You can't accept the fact that this show stinks. So you make up some balderdash about being the funniest person on the planet. Well, I'm not buying into it. I'll rob a bank without your help, thank you. Goodbye.
What happened, Steve? Is he right?
No, he's not. I am the funniest person on the planet. I don't understand why those jokes weren't funnier. Unless... Harry, look under the turntable. What is that?
What, Steve? This is just a rock or something.
That's not a rock, Harry. That's Fliptonite! Get it away from me! Get it away! As long as it stays in the room, I'm not funny!
Oh, Steve, this piece of Fliptonite has been there for years. I'm surprised you never noticed it before. But that explains a lot of things, doesn't it?
This is the song The Ostrich Sings. Peek-a-boo, I can't see you. Everything must be grand. Book-a-pee, they can't see me as long as I've got me head in the sand. Peek-a-boo, it may be true, there's something in what you said. But we've got enough troubles in everyday life, I just bury me head.
Oh, ostrich, consider how the world we know is trembling on the brink. Have you heard the news? May I hear your views? Will you tell me what you think? The ostrich lifted his head from the sand about an inch or so.
You will please excuse, but disturbing news I have no wish to know. Oh, peek-a-boo, I can't see you. Everything must be grand. Peek-a-pee, they can't see me, as long as I've got me head in the sand. Peek-a-boo, it may be true, there's something in what you've said. But we've got enough troubles in everyday life, I just bury me head.
Then I noticed suddenly where we were, I saw what time it was. Make haste, I said, it'll be too late, we must leave this place because... He stuffed his wingtips into his ears, he would not hear me speak. And back in the soft Saharan sand, he plunged his yellow beak.
Oh, peek-a-boo, I can't see you, everything must be grand. Pook-a-pee, they can't see me, as long as I've got me head in the sand. Peek-a-boo, it may be true, there's something in what you said. But we've got enough troubles in everyday life, I just bury me.
From a sheltered oasis a mile away, I observed that dreadful scene. And a single plume came floating down where my ostrich friend had been. Because he could not bear the sound of these words I had left unsaid. Here in this nuclear testing ground is no place to bury your head.
Okay, Flanders and Swan. Is that called an allegory? Maybe. Not sure. Don't need the letters saying, no, it wasn't an allegory. It was an analogy or a simile or a... I don't know. Flanders and Swan. This is Knock On Wood. I'm Steve Charney. No time left. Harry finally got rid of the flip tonight that was adversely affecting me. Since I originally came from Flipton as a boy, my powers of comedy are many times fold anyone here on Earth, but flip tonight curtails my powers.
Right, and there was a piece of Fliptonite in the studio. It's been here for years.
Right, that's why, well, the show hasn't been that funny.
I thought it was because I was purposely reining in my power so as not to devastate our community. Just goes to show you, Steve. Fliptonite is a dangerous thing. Bye-bye, everybody.
Knock on Wood is produced at the Knock on Wood Studios in Woodstock, New York. The show's written and produced by me, Steve Charney. And I always like to mention at this time, if you're at all interested in having us perform at any event that you're having, and we're talking about parties or theaters or schools, we promote literacy in the school, maybe you're, any event, give us a call at 845-246-7898. You can also email me, steve@stevecharney.com. You can check out my website, stevecharney.com, see what we look like, see what products we have for sale. Or maybe you just want to email and comment on the show. We're happy to hear from you. Okay, bye-bye, everyone.